Ag education plays an important role in exposing students to the wonderful world of farming and ranching. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rural Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Albrick with Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and today I'm joined by Sue Knott, who serves as an education specialist for Minnesota Ag in the Classroom. Welcome, Sue.
Thanks, Adam.
It's probably best to start off by giving a higher level of what your organization does. Could you tell us a little bit about the resources you provide?
Sure. So our Minnesota Agriculture in the Classroom program is a resource for kindergarten through 12th grade teachers here in the state of Minnesota. And we do not target agriculture teachers. It's the other teachers like elementary, middle school science, high school English, all those other subjects. And we try to provide tools, ideas, really empower those teachers to integrate agriculture into their curricula. So their students not only meet those required academic standards, but they're also getting a little taste of what agriculture is all about.
So you say you make lesson plans for kindergarten through 12th grade. Do you also have some fun activities within there?
Well, of course, because that is the key to engaging students and their teachers. I mean, teachers want to do really fun activities for students that get them interested in the subject matter, as well as, we hope, some agriculture. So we have a database of lesson plans online. We call it our curriculum matrix, and teachers can search by grade level, subject area, keyword, and within that, so let's say I'm a second grade teacher and I want to do something on plants. I would put in second grade plants, and then if there was any particular plants or seeds or whatever that I would want to focus on, you could put those keywords in, and then any lesson plans that meet those criteria would pop up. And they're free, so as a teacher, you just click on it, and the whole lesson plan is there. And almost all of these lesson plans have multiple activities that are really hands-on. Get kids, you know, planting seeds, tasting different things, really engage them in the subject matter. So hopefully they're excited about agriculture as well as the science or social studies or language arts that are part of that lesson as well.
So it really is kind of like a science experiment for all different types of teachers.
Exactly. Yeah, we want to get, you know, the teachers interested and engaged with agriculture as well as their students.
What type of response are you getting from teachers who utilize your resources?
Really pretty positive. I think teachers, that's their goal, to find subjects and things that kids really find exciting and want to learn more about. And plants, animals, food, you know, what agriculture is inherently exciting and engaging to most kids. So I think our biggest challenge is we need to connect with more teachers and let them know that we exist and these free resources are out there for them to use however they'd like.
Now, you obviously have people who probably use your resources across the state. Any idea how many people, how many teachers are using your resources?
So that's a good question. It's a little bit hard to measure, but we do have an online form that teachers fill out when they order our print resources. So with that information, we've engaged with about 100,000 students and roughly 20,000 teachers in the last school year, which is super exciting, but there's definitely room to grow. So that's our print resources, like our AgMag magazine, some of our posters and placemats. We have that online database of lesson plans that we've mentioned, and teachers can create we call it a virtual binder to save the lessons that they like. So then we have a contact. We know who's using it. But if you just go on there and use a lesson plan and don't create that binder, then we have no idea. So we hope we're interacting or more teachers than our 20,000 are using it, but we just haven't figured out a way to measure that yet.
Now, you said you really target a lot of teachers that are outside of agriculture. And so you tend to think a lot of ag programs are in probably rural Minnesota. But what's the usage like with urban schools?
When we look at who's used our resources using our online order form, it's almost a 50-50 split. So 50% are in the metro, you know, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and surrounding areas, and then 50% in outstate Minnesota. So we like to think that we're touching lots of areas throughout the state. And we also, our Minnesota Ag in the Classroom Foundation, in the last year hired some regional specialists that are focused in different areas of outstate Minnesota, and their goal is to really connect with teachers and help them use the resources, and then hopefully the teachers will continue to do that throughout the year and throughout their teaching career. So that's really, I think, made a really big impact in those outstate communities as well.
Now, thinking about, once again, those urban schools, there probably isn't a lot of ag-related activity happening within a bigger city. Are teachers still looking to teach ag, even though it might be the first time their students are really learning about it?
You know, I think it's really interesting. Many of those urban teachers and students really are curious and want to know, like, how is this food grown? How does it get to me? And I think, you know, there's been a huge increase in popularity in school gardens in urban areas, whether they're, you know, just a couple pots or a larger area. It doesn't really matter. Those kids are having an experience with growing something and being able to eat it, which I think is a great entry point into exploring agriculture as a larger industry or just a larger community. So I think that there is a lot of interest and a lot of excitement. If you're outstate, urban, it doesn't matter. Everybody really cares what they're eating and how it's grown and where it comes from. So I think that's a great opportunity for us to introduce them to the resources that we have that really gives some awesome background information about all types of agriculture in Minnesota.
How important of a role do you feel that plays then with understanding where your food comes from, connecting them to farmers when they may not also have that ag background?
Well, I think it's hugely important. I mean, we might be the first and only opportunity for them to have that connection. So, I think we take great pride in that. And I think it's really valuable to give them information that they can use, that these students can use. I mean, they're consumers now. They're eating food, they're buying things, but can, you know, really grow and develop as they get older and as they become parents and more intense consumers and people who are hopefully actively engaged in their community and get to make decisions. So I think that, you know, developing that foundation or laying the groundwork of an interest and wanting to know more about agriculture is something that can be lifelong.
It's pretty neat considering we're becoming more and more removed from the farm. A lot of people's only interaction with food comes at a grocery store. So this kind of provides that extra layer of, by the way, there's a step prior to the grocery store. It has to come from somewhere.
Right. And I think, you know, I was talking to my colleague, Carrie Seidel, who's also an education specialist with Minnesota Agriculture in the Classroom. And, you know, kids are smart. Like if we say, where does milk come from? They could identify a cow or, you know, where do eggs come from? A chicken. Like they get that. But it's all the stuff that happens in between that's really complex and really, you know, our farmers and agriculturalists are making decisions about all sorts of different things that we want, you know, kids to just be more aware of that those farmers are working really hard and making really tough decisions that influence what the students as a consumer get to purchase at their store. So that's where our effort is, like really the whole picture, what's going on and how can we help kids understand that.
Humans are lifelong learners, but is there a sweet spot for an age that your organization feels is really important to expose kids to this type of education?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I mean, there's lots of educational research that shows, you know, third to sixth grade is really when they're soaking up, you know, they're sponges where they're soaking up a lot of information, and middle school is when they're making career choices. But we just think kindergarten through 12th grade, if we can have a consistent exposure to agriculture at hopefully like every grade throughout the school year, that's going to be the best impact, not just targeting, you know, one specific grade or one particular subject area. If it can be on a continuum where students are introduced and exposed to different agricultural topics throughout their, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade career, we think that can be the most impactful.
Now, you mentioned that your organization offers online resources, but do you ever actually go out and teach lessons?
So that's
in
a good
school?
That's a good question. You know, we do. Carrie and I are the education specialists based at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And then we have our Minnesota Ag in the Classroom Foundation, which is separate. And they hired four of those regional specialists that I mentioned earlier. And we do go to classrooms and try out some of the lessons, get feedback from teachers. But our main goal is to empower those teachers so that they integrate agriculture, use our lesson plans, and just agriculture as a whole throughout the school year. Because we feel like that's a much more sustainable and impactful model, where the teachers who are with those students every day are using agriculture rather than just a one-time thing from ourselves. So we do go to the classrooms, but we really try to empower and really train. I guess train is maybe not the great word, but really try to provide tools to those teachers so agriculture is something that they're consistently and constantly using.
Are your resources available just primarily for kind of a one-off type lesson plan, or could they be incorporated throughout the entire year?
So we like to think we have a buffet of lots of different options to pick throughout the year. And the teacher can kind of decide within their, you know, curricula and how they have things structured. Like, you know, maybe you're a middle school science teacher and you're like, the curriculum we have could use some help and we could really bolster the plant science area. So then we're like, okay, Ag in the Classroom, we have some great things, seventh grade science, here's what you can use. And then they can pick and choose what really works for them and their students. So yeah, I mean, we really try to not be like, teachers, here's what you have to do. We really want to work with them on something that's going to complement what they're already doing.
We are speaking with Sue Knott, education specialist with Minnesota Ag in the Classroom. Sue, let's talk about the role industry plays in the work that you do. Are there commodities or businesses coming to you and looking to partner?
Yeah, that's a great question, Adam. So we have a really unique situation, I think. So Carrie Seidel and myself are education specialists based and employed by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And then we have our Minnesota Agriculture in the Classroom Foundation, which is a separate entity that is outside of the Department of Agriculture. And the role of that foundation is to work with commodity groups, agricultural businesses, independent farmers, people who have an interest in agriculture, and collect funds as well as, you know, support from those groups. And then that foundation decides what to do with those funds. And many of times it is used together with, myself as an education specialist and programming that we want to do together to complement both things.
I've noticed some interactive digital efforts from your organization, such as using Facebook Live to give farm tours. I believe you have been doing some Thanksgiving-related ones where you go out onto a turkey farm. How important are efforts like this in teaching agriculture to the general public?
Well, those have been really fun. You're right. So just a couple weeks ago, we went to John Zimmerman's turkey farm near Northfield, and that's the third time in the days before Thanksgiving that we've gone to a turkey farm and done a virtual field trip. So students' classrooms can tune in and see what that farm is like using Facebook, which is pretty easily accessible to most people. So I think, you know, we are just trying to remove barriers. Sometimes, not all schools, but some schools have trouble doing field trips due to logistics, you know, the busing, the cost of that, as well as getting students from the school to that site and making sure everything is safe. And, you know, it's just a lot to do. So we're trying to remove that barrier and bring the field trip to them. So we think, you know, trying to make agriculture really easy to integrate within the school day, within the curricula, is the biggest thing. So any way we can do that, we're game to try it. And the virtual field trips have been a fun way to do that.
And are other industries looking to partner with you guys, or have there been other commodities that have expressed interest in doing stuff like this?
Sure. There's been a lot of interest. You know, we did one this fall at the Twin Cities Orthopedic Performance Center, to practice home of the Vikings, with Land O'Lakes Field is actually what their practice fields are called. So that was really fun to look at a different sort of less traditional agriculture area. We've talked about doing a pork farm. Two years ago, we went to Riverview, one of their dairy farms, Meadowview Dairy, which was really fun to show students how cows are milked and how many are there. So yeah, we are really interested in partnering with anyone who might be wanting to host us and share their story with students.
And it also helps with some biosecurity, of course, because some ag sectors are very sensitive, and that's a good way, of course, to expose students to this type of operation, but at the same point, allow the operation to keep that level of biosecurity.
Exactly. And, you know, we're really sensitive to that. We don't want to bring in, you know, a class of 100 or not 100, a grade of 100 students with their sniffles and flu germs and whatever that, you know, could potentially make those animals sick. So we don't want to do that. So I think it's a great opportunity for both parties to win.
What other ways are you using technology to teach those following along?
So technology is really exciting, and we're trying to, you know, harness that and use that within the educational world. There's lots of opportunity or lots of want to use that. So we have created an online video library of just short video clips of different agricultural sites, which once again, you know, can bring students to that site without worrying about bus travel and biosecurity and all that sort of stuff. So to give students just a quick look into what farms are like, so they can view that from their classroom. We have with our Ag Mag magazines, which has been our longest running resource. It's been around for 33 years. And we started a new website. It's mn.agmag.org. And some of that, the print pieces are online, as well as some interactive games that go along with the articles that if you are in a school that has iPads or Chromebooks, they're easy to play and pretty student friendly. So we think those are really exciting. We actually just started a podcast. And I guess this podcast, the target audience is teachers, because a lot of teachers are removed from agriculture as well, and maybe don't feel 100% confident in teaching their students or sharing with their students when they're not really sure themselves what it's all about. So the podcasts have been a way to give the teachers some background information so that they gain confidence and feel comfortable teaching about that stuff, that subject, with their students. So the opportunities are endless. So if anyone has additional ideas about technology, let us know. We are game to look into them.
Now, Minnesota is, of course, not alone in offering Ag in the Classroom. Neighboring states such as North Dakota and Wisconsin also have these types of services or similar services. Do you work with other states or a nationwide network at all to see what's being successfully done elsewhere?
Yeah, that's a really great point. So the National Agriculture in the Classroom Organization is the umbrella group that all states who have an Ag in the Classroom program, which is almost everybody, are part of. So we work together, like the curriculum matrix that I mentioned earlier, that's a nationwide effort. So every state can submit lesson plans and resources, and then we can all access them, which is pretty awesome. And we have regional groups. So Minnesota, we're in the central region, along with, you mentioned, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Illinois, Indiana, a couple other states. So we meet twice a year to, like you said, just compare and share ideas. Yeah, just work together and see what are some things that really can benefit all of us. And then once a year, we have a big conference in the summer where all states come together, and there's really energizing, you know, breakout sessions and speakers, and teachers come to that as well. So it's fun to interact with them and get feedback on the things that we are offering. So yeah, I like to think that, you know, at a nationwide level, we're really working together to provide agriculture literacy education nationwide to all kindergarten through 12th grade teachers.
We've talked about the resources that you have. We've talked about the technology that you're getting involved in. Now we're talking about that nationwide network. What are you learning about the way kids are learning? Is it changing? Is the way, as time goes on, is the way kids learn today different than it was 15, 20 years ago?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, within the world of education, along with most industries and worlds, things are always evolving. And if you step into an elementary school, I'll just use that as an example, you will find it's a lot different than even 5 or 10 years ago. I know I have two daughters I have one daughter in first grade and one in third grade, and their classrooms have, you know, beanbag chairs, and they sit on exercise balls instead of chairs. So there's lots of flexible seating. There's lots of independent learning. Students are grouped so that they can do, you know, individual projects that interest them. And I think agriculture lends a really great, is a really great tool to use in those settings where there's lots of flexibility, because you can have students focus on a plant or an animal or a food that's interesting to them or tied to their, you know, family history or something like that. And I think teachers find that really fun way to get those science and social studies and all of those important concepts, but in a really fun and interesting way that appeals to the students.
Now, one thing we're seeing society-wise is the shrinking of attention spans. Is that challenging you guys at all in the way you put out resources?
Well, I think we're aware of it. I mean, I think that agriculture education in its history has always been really hands-on, interactive, you know, appealing to all sorts of students who want to move and want to be really engaged with what they're learning. So I think that, you know, the shrinking attention span is something that we're aware of, but it's been, you know, we can appeal to those, you know, learners because we have fun and exciting things for them to do. So it's definitely something we're aware of, but it's something that, you know, I think agriculture education has been tackling for a long time. So we can just continue on that path.
When you think of the amount of agriculture that happens, or agricultural activities, I should say, that happen within a state, it can just be very immense given all the diversity of ag sectors. How do organizations like yours come up with the content to showcase all the different types of things that happen?
Well, that is a challenge, but also really exciting. I mean, you take a state like Minnesota, and we have such a diversity of different plants, animals, foods that grow here. So our philosophy is, within our buffet or within our whole portfolio of resources, we want to touch on all of them. Will every piece do that? No. So, you know, for example, we started a new specialty crop AgMag, with some funding from the USDA. They wanted to promote specialty crops, which are fruits and vegetables and honey and maple syrup. So that AgMag, specifically targeted for third grade learners, doesn't have much about corn or soybeans or pigs or dairy cows in it, which is fine, because we hope that students at third grade, you know, read and use that AgMag, but then at fourth, fifth, sixth grade, and even in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they use some of our other resources that touched on those larger commodities. So we hope within, like I said, our portfolio of all of our resources, online tools, every agriculture sector or piece of Minnesota is represented, but it's just impossible to include those in every single thing.
There are obviously, of course, some touchy subjects within agriculture, such as, let's say, GMO versus organics, free range versus feedlot, or whatever have you. And how does your organization weigh those things?
So that is a really tricky question. Well, I don't know if it's tricky, but it's something that, you know, we get asked about from time to time. So I think being part of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture is the first step in being really in a great place. Because, you know, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture supports everyone involved in agriculture. So it's really easy, I think, for teachers and the people that we work with to know that we are not going to say, you know, GMOs are better than organic or organic is better than GMOs or whatever. Like, we are supporting all agriculture. And our program has been really, the National Ag in the Classroom, as well as Minnesota Agriculture in the Classroom, has been really challenged to develop resources that really provide information to students and let them think critically about that. So for example, for high school science students and teachers, we have a lesson that's called The Science of a GMO. So within that lesson, students investigate, what is a GMO? How is it created? How is science involved? Which clearly, I mean, it's very science-based. And then how has it helped and how has it maybe not? You know, what are the ways that agriculture has used this, and what are some of the reasons why people, you know, have chosen not to use them? So I think really providing all that information and then having students be like, okay, I have this information. Now I get to make my own decision or my choice about what I think is good or bad. Or whatever. So that's how our program approaches it, providing factual information and letting students be the thinkers.
Could you remind everybody once again where they can go to find your information, how they can get in contact with you, where they can find the videos, maybe sign up for your Ag Mag?
Yeah, so we are hopefully a one-stop shop. mn.agclassroom.org is our website. And on there, we have our order form for all of our resources. There's contact information for myself and my colleague, Carrie, as well as our regional specialist. So you can contact us directly. All of the online lesson plans and additional resources, videos are all on that site. So check it out. I'll say it one more time. mn.agclassroom.org.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap up today?
Well, I feel like in Minnesota, we're really fortunate to have support of the educational community as well as the agriculture community. And we feel really lucky to be able to work with teachers who are interested in where agriculture fits within their curriculum and want to share that with their students. So we thank, you know, the educational and agricultural communities for supporting us and know we have a lot of work to do.
Sue, thank you very much for a great conversation. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam.
That's Sue Knott, Education Specialist with Minnesota Agriculture in the Classroom. That's a wrap for us today. The Rural Perspectives Podcast is a production of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. You can get more great content by visiting agcountry.com.